Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas, or you can find me on Instagram as well at Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. I haven't really been able to do much on the Instagram account. They did come up with a notification for me that they are suspending my account for 30 days. I don't know why. I've disputed it or something like that. So I'm not too sure what's going on there. I can see posts. I can't do much else at the moment. So I'll see what happens with that. But you can follow me there if you want to still. Anyways, enough of that. I was joined by Mark Hello today. Now, me and Mark, it was a bit of a therapy session. We talked a lot about David Noble, what's going on, you know, behind the scenes of the club, you know, a lot of speculation, a lot of talk about, you know, a little bit of talk about the game, not too much. It was just more of a, like I said, a bit of a therapy session as far as, you know, how it's just fallen apart this year, basically. It was a bit of a negative podcast, you know, and we both hate being negative, but at the end of the day, you know, we're getting flogged by 50-plus points every week, 10-plus goals sometimes, and, you know, we want to discuss it and get it off our chest, as we like to do. So, yeah, it's good to openly communicate this to someone. So, yeah, happy to share this with you viewers. We did go on a bit of a rant for about an hour. So, hopefully you don't get too bored listening to it. I'm always happy to talk about North Melbourne Football Club. So, yeah, if you're happy to listen for an hour, go ahead. And, yeah, I won't hold you up anymore. So I'll bring on Mark right now.
I'm joined by Mark Hello once again. So before we go through a review of the performance over the weekend, Mark, we obviously had some news last week. The main news was Tristan Sherry. Looks like Riley Beveridge reported that he's on the verge of signing a 3-year contract extension. What do you make of that? That pretty much, you'd have to think that ends Goldstein's career at the end of the year with North Melbourne based on that, with Callum Coleman-Jones in the wings as well, a big name recruit that can't get a game at the moment because of those two. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's a good point. So as soon as I read that article from Riley, I thought, well, that's the end of Goldie playing at the Kangas next year, because logic would tell you you can't bring in someone who was playing as a key forward at Richmond but didn't want to be a key forward, wanted to be a ruckman.
Selling
the fact you'll come as a ruckman to us, and then 18 months later say, oh, no, yeah, sorry, but you're going to have to wait another 12 months while we pay you, you know, 600 grand or whatever it might be. I'm assuming you're absolutely spot on that. I think they've made the right decision to get Cherry signed up. At the same time, it's not great watching him get 2 or 3 possessions a week the last few weeks.
Well, he doubled this week. He went from 2 to 4, so that's an improvement.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're going purely on form, you'd have Goldstein for the next 2 years. Absolutely no doubt about it.
Yeah, 100%.
But I don't really have an issue with them thinking long-term about Cherry. To be honest, I'm almost reluctant to criticise any player on the list right now performance-wise, which I know sounds a bit silly. But yeah. I honestly think something's so wrong that you almost can't judge them at the moment. There's something's just not quite right versus last year. Apart from Bailey Scott and a few others who are clearly gone forward, something's just there was so much excitement 12 months ago, even though, you know, we weren't winning games, we were, you know, struggling. We won 4, drew 1, and, you know, there wasn't a lot, but as a supporter, I was really excited 12 months ago. I think most supporters would say right now they're really struggling to find the hope. And the hope's the big issue. And I think this is classically what happens in this type of situation is when supporters can't feel hope, the board panics and feels like – I don't mean panics in the wrong sense, but when they feel like their supporter base doesn't feel like there's any hope for the future, they feel like they have to do something to give them hope. And I think that's almost where things are at the moment. But, you know, I'm sure we might talk about that later. But,
yeah,
there's something not quite right at the moment. It is really hard. I mean, I was at the game against St Kilda.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And that was the first time. That was the first time for a long time I watched a game and felt almost emotionless about the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's almost the worst place you can be as a supporter to not feel any emotion. And it's almost getting to that point now. It was almost, you know, I got excited in the first quarter against, and I know we'll obviously talk about the Gold Coast game, but
yeah,
I think we all got a bit excited. Okay, maybe this is a turning point. And then to see 29 inside 50s in the second quarter, and you just go, what the hell's happening here? Something's not right. It's just, sorry, Dean, I've been too long there, but I think most supporters at the moment, and I think there's three types of supporters, and I'm not a big fan of extremism, but I think there is a bit of that at the moment. I think you've got the support, there's three types. So you've got one on the left who go, I don't care what the club does, and I think they can't make a mistake. Everything they do is perfect. And then you've got on the right, on the far right, you've got supporters. Every time they lose a game, they just want half the list sacked. They just hate everyone and they just abuse, you know, this coach is sacked and that coach is sacked and all the players are useless and blah, blah, blah. And then you've got the middle ground, which I think is where most of us are at the moment, which is we were very excited last year. We're very worried this year. We've gone 8 games in a row. We've lost by 47 points and over.
Yeah.
And the coach sounds completely devoid of confidence when he speaks himself about where we're heading. And the CEO is not much better. And the best they can come out with, you know, is, well, we don't, you know, we've got no one's here on long-term contracts and I don't even understand what that means. Why are you selling that as a great point of reference? So it's a very strange period, and I've been watching the club. I went to my first game in the 1976 Grand Final, and cried my eyes out all the way home. Evidently, I can't remember it, but apparently, and I reckon it hasn't 1973, which is a bit before my time. I think that's we're at a level like that at the moment. I think the it's about hope, and unfortunately, what happens is, if you're a supporter and you can't feel hope, then it becomes very depressing. And then the club feels that the supporters don't feel hope and they feel like they have to do something to create hope. And I think right now, even if as a board member, you thought, I think Noble might be okay.
Yeah.
You'd be almost leaning towards, well, regardless of that, we can't get a lot worse than we are now. We have to do something to give the supporters belief that we're going to do something to turn this around, because right now they're thinking we're 8 or 9 years away.
Yeah. It's probably been generous a bit too.
It's all very, you can't have Ben Amafio coming out and saying, oh yes, but other clubs that have been through this, like Melbourne in 2011 to 2013, were just as bad. That'll somehow make us all feel, oh, that's okay. We're not the worst of the worst.
Yeah,
so we're aiming for the ground, you know. But like, at some point, you've got to be a bit more ambitious than the worst of the worst rebuilds.
Yeah. Just with the Tristan Sherry, I'll go back to that. That's all right. I thought maybe 3 years was probably a bit generous. I think 2 would have been a fairer offer. He did make improvements early in the year, but hasn't been the same since he came back from injury. And Todd Golston has taken over the number one mantle. And I was gonna transition into the Ben Amafio. I found it a bit strange, sort of saying, no one's got a long term contract, including himself. Now, if things keep going the way they're going, which it probably looks likely, David Noble won't be coach next year. That's pretty much.
Why would you or I care, or any North supporter care, if Ben Amafio's got a long-term contract or not?
Yeah.
I think he's not reading the room right. No one could care less. I mean,
yeah.
He left Cricket Australia as someone and this is not a secret, perceived as a divisive character.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And unfortunately, that's what we're looking at the moment at the footy club. And he must be kidding himself to think if Alistair Clarkson and four of his best assistants turned up and said, we want to be here, but we want three-year deals. I mean, what club in their right mind would say, no, we don't do long-term deals. We just do year to year. That's why he said that. It's like he was almost bragging in a way and saying, well, if we decide to get rid of Noble, we can.
Yeah.
But why? Don't discuss that publicly. There's no need to say that. It was an unbelievable. On the one hand, he's saying, yeah, we've got Noble's back. But by the way, if we don't, we can get rid of him on a moment's notice.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, if Alistair Clarkson wants, if you want to get Alistair Clarkson, you probably have to give him 4 or 5 year deal, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
And probably $1 million a year. Otherwise, he's not going to come on a 2 year deal or anything like that. So,
and neither would Adam Simpson. He's not going to leave West Coast unless it's at least a guaranteed 3 years.
Yeah, well, his family's settled up there now too. He's got he's still got a young family. His kids are in high school and so forth. So he probably wants to stay.
That's probably true. Yeah, no, I think that's probably right. And by the way, also, Adam Uze is not leaving Melbourne on the idea that he could be just booted at the end of 6 months.
No, like, that's right.
It's just, if you want the best of the best, you're going to give them some security, because right now, the best of the best probably don't trust the North board or the club to do anything right.
Yeah.
Because they're watching the fitness group get booted last year and be completely replaced. The recruitment team's gone. Like, why would they feel safe just rocking up? As if they're in a great role where they are on good money and they're on a 3 year contract, why on earth would they go on a rolling contract at North? I mean, it just makes no sense. So no. Look, I understand the idea behind it, but don't brag about it going, look, even me, the fantastic Ben Amalfio's the contract, like, we don't need to hear that. I don't mean to be nasty towards Ben. I just don't understand the thinking behind that. It just makes no sense. Given you've just come off 8 losses in a row over 47 points, the supporters are not impressed by the fact you've come up with this great idea that no one's locked in. They're like, you've just lost your head of recruitment on that basis, because they gave him a 3 year contract.
No, that's right. We didn't want to match it. Look, I mean, there's probably other factors as well that played into that. There's probably a chance he was looking for another job while he's still working at North. And I mean, that's what generally tends to happen in workplaces when you. Yeah.
Dean, I heard what you said last week and I totally agreed with that. When you're unhappy at work, you start looking.
Yeah.
That's okay. And,
I mean, look, there was, I talk about Ben Amalfio and, but there were bad reports about him when he did leave Cricket Australia.
Very bad.
Yeah, talking about his secretary wanted to make him breakfast and so forth. So maybe that's the problem. We need to make him breakfast.
Oh, yeah. I would mind that. That sounds like that seems fair enough.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. Which is, I mean, that's what you hear. You don't know if it's true or not. So
I wouldn't have a clue. But the only thing I'd ask is, was he divisive or was he someone who brought people together?
And yeah,
if you get walked out of your job, that's normally not a great sign. So it was during that period where we didn't seem to be doing a lot of due diligence around our appointments. But you know, it's done now. I don't know the specifics or the facts. So
yeah, of course, but none of us do.
I'm seeing things at the club that are concerning, and as I said. It's not about winning games and saying, oh, we're losing, so I'm going to abuse everyone in the club and want everyone replaced. Yeah. But there are signs at the moment that I've never seen since the early 70s where, at our worst, we always say, we've always been able to say, we're a close-knit club, the culture's amazing, the shinbone spirit's always there.
Yeah.
And even when we've got a really average side, and this included, by the way, during the Brad Scott era, a lot of supporters felt he was terrible, but I thought he actually, although he didn't like some of the thinking behind the Shinbone Spirit, and he didn't like us being perceived as a poor club, he loved the effort part of it.
Yeah.
And this is the thing I can't tolerate at the moment is, how can we be the worst team in the comp with defensive pressure? What has that got to do with talent?
Yeah, no, that's right.
Go on. Well,
no,
I mean, the press conferences, I can't listen to them anymore because they keep talk. I mean, forget the nourishment stuff. And someone said the other day that it wasn't actually true, but someone said that Noble had said, "Oh, we got some good nourishment out of the first quarter." And I took that seriously. I thought, oh, my, if he said that, that's it. That's a final straw. But he actually never said that. But
no, they didn't.
Someone was just being a bit facetious, which was quite amusing. But but the thinking behind it, just saying, yeah, when the team challenges us, we do nothing about it.
No.
He's saying as if it's got nothing to do with him. I can't get my head around that. Well, mate, that means the message is not getting through. And I don't mean that I've said on a tweet that I think it's great under the pressure he's under that he's at least getting to enjoy the fact his son's, you know, playing great footy for Collingwood. And that must be a great thrill as a father.
Yeah.
But I honestly believe he's a general manager of footy. He's not a coach. Yeah. And to be honest, he hadn't coached for a decade before he took over North.
Yeah. And
it's all very well to say, yeah, he saw what a rebuild took at Brisbane. But yeah. if I watch someone building a house, that doesn't mean I know how to build a house.
No, that's right. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, look, there's a lot of question marks about him at the moment. And like you said, it's looking more and more likely that he is more of a back of the in the back room sort of. That's more of his role by the looks of it, because it's getting a bit overwhelming at the moment. You can't consistently keep losing by 50 points and just sit there and say, yeah, we're on track and so forth. Because at the end of the day, you judge by results, and he can talk about his advanced metrics as much as he likes, but at the end of the day, it's the bottom line that matters. And we're getting flogged every week, and we're
losing. Can I ask you, Dino? How do you feel when you watch? I mean, it's an interesting emotional situation where you go, you're watching it happen week after week, and eventually you go, I want something major to happen. A circuit breaker to happen to give me hope that there's going to, because we've gone from believing, and some supporters will go, oh, we've got the worst list in the comp. Well, 12 months ago we had an exciting list. Now it's just a disaster list. I mean, as a supporter, I go, no, I don't believe that. I believe the list is still exciting, but something's wrong.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm being delusional to think like that, and everyone else is, and that's where you start questioning yourself. You go, okay, is the list just horrific, and I completely deluded myself that I thought we could win five or six games this year?
Yeah.
Or is something wrong about the level of effort and defensive pressure and everything else and the game plan, and they just need to change, the players need to hear a different voice, they need a different direction. It's hard to know for sure because we're all outside of this, but if you keep losing by 10 goals every week, 10 weeks in a row, I'm just not sure how much worse it could be with someone different giving the message.
No, I mean, look, there's a lot of factors to it. There's obviously payouts that would have to happen. If the board, there's assistant coaches that would have to get paid out. Like Huth Uni came down with him, Jordan Russell and so forth. So they'd probably leave with him. I'm not too sure what their contract situations are like. But I understand that if Noble stays to the end of the year, then, I believe they don't have to pay him out. That's what I believe. I'm not 100% sure on that.
No, I'm
so
not.
So maybe, So, I mean, that might be a part of the reason why they're not getting rid of him now. That's what I'm thinking, because it's obviously not working. You can't sit there and say, with a straight face, this is where we're at. This is what we expected. I mean, it was only 3 or 4 months ago he was sort of comparing us to an NFL team that finished last 2 years ago that were in the Super Bowl this year, the Bengals. So,
100%. I'm almost at a point now. The term rebuild is just starting to become a nightmare for supporters.
It's used when it's convenient.
Yeah. It's an excuse for everything. Every time you do anything bad, it's rebuild.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's right.
No other club talks like that. It's only North that are doing it. I just find it. And it, what eventually happens is it permeates through the whole playing group. So yeah. Eventually there's no expectation to do anything except fail.
I think it's almost a get out. Maybe some of the players are sort of just probably when it gets a bit too hard, accepting, who cares really? I mean, because, the first quarter is quite good. We'll go to the first quarter. Very good start, 4-3, 27 to 1-4-10. We won the possession count. We won the contested possession count. Our pressure was a lot better. We created a good goal through LDU. The forward pressure was very good in that sequence.
That's right.
Even Troy Makepeace has done a little thread now showing us the good things in the first quarter, and the pressure was very intense. We rocked up the play. And then all of a sudden, Gold Coast, obviously the message was, let's get back into the contested possession. Stuart G would have mentioned that. They adjusted, and we didn't respond. We didn't give a whimper. You could sort of sense halfway through that second quarter, the game was over. Even though we were probably in front by a point or two, it was more their bad kicking. And you knew this is just going to continue. Wasn't like a case of, we're going to get the game back on our terms. There was nothing. You could almost see it because it happens week in, week out. So
if you take away, forget all the other stats. I know there's 29 inside 50s, I think, in that second quarter, which is horrific.
Yeah.
But it was the breaking of the tackles that upset me more than anything else. It was just like suddenly we're witches' hats again.
Yeah. And how does that happen over the course of, a 30-minute period? We just go from that first quarter to that second quarter is unbelievable. Like, I've never seen a capitulation like that. And we were lucky it was 7-7. It should have been 10-plus goals that quarter. It was probably, that was...
Dino, it makes me... I mean, and the way Noble talked about it after the game and was disappointed, and he said, look, the effort wasn't really there.
I sort of said when we're challenged...
So he's basically admitting that he's incapable. I don't mean this to be a personal attack on him, but he's basically saying he's incapable of communicating them to do what he wants them to do in that situation.
Yeah.
If there was manic intensity around defensive efforts in that situation, I don't believe any reason, and I'm talking about the middle ground here, not the extreme left or right. The middle ground North supporter will absolutely accept losing games and look, yep, they responded. We weren't quite good enough. We lost by 30 points.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think anyone will complain with that. It's just a total capitulation, and it's just like nothing I've seen before from the North. And then you hear bad body language. And to be honest, I'm not really sure what the body language thing was. I didn't really notice it during the game when I was watching. But I'm worried about it because it's never been said before about North Melbourne Footy Club in the 40, 50 years I've been watching them. I've never heard a bad word said about our culture or players all being, fighting amongst themselves and like all this stuff that keeps happening week in, week out at the moment. And then you hear about the recruiters leaving because they're not supported. It's all stuff that I've never heard about North Footy Club in my whole time. My father played for the club.
Yeah.
And his comment always was, it's the most amazing culture you can imagine. It's like, and David King talked about it a few weeks ago, about being a country club type amazing culture. Something telling me at the moment, that's not right now. It's just, there's something not right. And I don't know where it's stemming from or who's the cause of it, but they have to fix that because that's been the guts of what the club's about for the last 100 years. And if they don't fix that, the word rebuild is not an excuse for those things being lost.
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, we're always a club that's prided itself on keeping people behind the scenes, on the field. Brent Harvey got big offers to go to Carlton, always stayed. Took less money. That was our strength. We had that culture.
Absolutely.
And that's where the shinbone of spirit come from.
I'm more scared about right now than anything else. You're 100% spot on.
Now we're talking about, trying to desperately re-sign Jason Horne Francis.
Well, it's not even Jason Horne. I mean, Jason Horne Francis is one. Look, we don't know. I don't know what Jason's like. I want him to stay at the club. Absolutely. I desperately want him to stay at the club. But let's just say he was an absolute prima donna and whatever else. I couldn't care. If that was the case, okay, let him go and get what we can for him. But I'm worried about, they're talking about Taron Thomas and they're talking about other players that aren't happy. And that really worries me. Like these are, if we go through this next 6 months and keep thing just pretending everything's fine and lose four or five blokes under 25 that are who we're trying to build the club around, that will set you back by a decade.
No, 100%.
It's all very well to say the word rebuild, but like there's a David Neal rebuild, and there's a Damien Hardwick rebuild. They better know which is which, because if they get that wrong, you know, Brendan Bolton, David Teague, David Neal, some of those people are good. I'm not saying they're bad people. They're great assistant coaches. But if you can't deal with, North Melbourne's built on the Ron Barassi level.
Yeah.
And people might hate Brad Scott, but boy, he was a big presence.
Yeah, yeah.
And right now we're an excuse riddled talking metrics that no one, it is so laughable that we're talking metrics about how we've improved year on year, but no one else can see what they are. I mean, it's just, my God, it's embarrassing. It's laughable. You reeled off some stats a few weeks ago when I was last on that I hadn't heard, and I must admit I cheated the other day when a North supporter said to me, "How do you know we've gone back? It's real off some stats." And I said, "Well, I can't, but I'll tell you who can." They're damning statistics, the ones that you came up with year on year. I mean, they're just facts.
Yeah, I tweeted the last 3 weeks the inside 50 count. I mean,
yes, I saw that.
Inside 50 tackles. We haven't had a double-digit inside 50 tackle count since round 6 against Geelong, I think it was, and we got thumped there. So there's no forward pressure. We're not getting an inside 50. It's been played in our defensive half. When we do get it out, we look, there's no structure. Our forwards continually play from behind, which infuriates me watching on TV. Cain Turner, Nick Larky. They're always about 5-10 metres behind their opponent, waiting for the ball to go 70 metres over the back when a quick kick comes out. I mean, they're always outnumbered too. We're pushing too deep in defence. We're pushing too many numbers back. And any person can see that. Ricky mentioned this in his article. He said every week there's a different problem. Last week it was, the halfbacks were an issue. The week before was, the use of the ball and so forth. It's not just one problem. You know, the contested possession this week was second quarter. Well, our first quarter will lean contested possession. Second quarter, it goes Gold Coast 46 to North Melbourne 29. Disposals in general, 96 to the Suns, 65. Inside 50s, 28 to 5.
This is my big issue with the whole thing is if you were taking over, if you walked into a business and go, "This business is an absolute basket case, I'm here to fix it."
Yeah.
You work out what's the biggest problem we've got, and let's start there. There's lots of problems, but this is the biggest one that's going to cause this business to close down if we don't fix it now. And you just focus 100% on that and go, let's get that right, and then we'll build from there.
Yeah.
He talks about this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And every week we're focusing on something a little bit different.
Yeah.
And the game plan's a little bit different every week. 12 months ago, we're trying to go fast through the middle. Now we kick we're just sort of kick long down the boundary line. We're back to reshore in 2020.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's our default. It's when the pressure comes on, we just want to go long down the line and hit and hope. And in the end, the ball's just coming back twice as quick once we do that, those long, slow kicks. Yeah, that's the default when the pressure's on. And instead of conceding two or three goals in a row, we concede, eight, nine, ten sometimes. So.
And then David will then talk as if he's removed from the people that are doing it. You go, the players are doing all this. But, mate, you're having a review every week. The issue I've got is not so much about what they're doing. It's the confidence level of the players is so low. Something has created an environment where the players have lost all confidence in their own ability. And yeah. There's only a couple, like LDU is about one of the few that seems to still believe in himself.
Yeah, he played really
well. Karen Thomas has completely lost confidence in himself. I mean, and that goes for about 12 other players there.
Yeah. Well, Taron Thomas started okay first quarter, I'll give him that, and then fell away, unfortunately, second quarter like a lot of us did. But, yeah, there was – he's got – I don't know what his best role is at the moment. He's struggling in midfield. You know, he's sort of
set the standard. I'll guarantee it looks to me – and this is a very amateur opinion. It looks to me like we're – as a club, we're focusing on what people can't do.
Yeah.
And keep drumming that into them, and that it's making them weak at what they're good at. And they're just there's something wrong from a confidence perspective at the moment. And eventually, just go into survival mode, and no one's good at playing defensively anymore.
No, you can't win that.
You can't win that game. We drew with GWS last year. We beat West Coast. We were competitive in so many games. There is no, and people are saying to me, we should expect to be where we are this year. That is absolute nonsense. No one expected us to be beating West Coast waffle side by literally falling over the line by 15 points. Playing a great game against Sydney, which actually showed what we really are capable of.
Yeah.
And again, against Melbourne. And then every other game, just completely capitulating and losing by 10 goals plus. There is no way either the coach or anyone else thought that was going to happen. Something has gone terribly wrong, and you cannot just keep ignoring that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just make a mistake. And, like, if we've made a mistake, okay, that's fine. Change it and move on. You can't just let this continue, because they will not get record membership next year. They will not get crowds turning up. And the most loyal supporters absolutely will keep supporting them.
Yeah,
that won't sustain the club.
No. So, but in saying that, we got GWS at Marvel this week. What do you expect as far as a crowd number? I'm expecting about 8,000-9,000.
Oh, I think that'll be a miracle.
It's almost like that because, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
it's a terrible time of day anyway. I mean, I've got a 9-year-old. Admittedly, I live an hour and a half. I'm in Janjuk, so I live an hour and a half out of Melbourne.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to that's as bad a time as you can get, 3:20 on a Sunday night. So it's an awkward time because you're sort of not getting home till 7:38. You've got kids, you've got school and whatever the next day. It's not ideal. And when you're talking about the worst North team since the mid-70s, no one's in a mad rush to get there.
No, that's right.
So yeah. it's a marvel. So in this current situation we're in, if we get 6,000-7,000 there, I think they'll be happy. But
yeah,
this all goes to. I mean, look, I've seen a few North supporters say, if you're a true North supporter, you'll go. But that's all well and good, but that's not going to make the club profitable or make them survive. They can't survive on true supporters that just don't care. No matter how bad things are, they'll say the club's doing the right thing. I could be nasty and say that, you know, sycophantic supporters are important to the club, and they really are, to be fair.
Yeah.
And the other extreme is supporters that just abuse the club. As soon as they lose by 2 points, they want half the club sacked. I mean, both sides of that are ridiculous. There's a middle ground at the moment that really does believe something needs to change. And, I can't see anything positive happening in the next 4 or 5 weeks. I must admit, and you'd probably be the same, every week you sort of doubt yourself and go, well, I shouldn't be so negative. Maybe it'll turn around this week. I want change. Maybe I'm wanting change for the sake of change. Don't panic. And then I must admit, I watched it this week and I was going, no, that's enough.
Yeah, I think there's always a breaking point, isn't there? So maybe last weekend was it for a lot of people. So even the most optimistic probably crossed that line of
absolutely. Well, at some point you go, well, how much worse can it get? I mean, so if they were coaching themselves, there was no coaches there. How much worse would they be?
You could probably. Like our VFL team got smashed on the weekend, but you could probably throw them out there. It wouldn't be much worse.
I found that really interesting. The VFL coach, Lee Adams, was absolutely scathing in the way he described what was going on.
Yeah, he's not usually like that either.
No, which makes me think something's terribly wrong, because he just said they're just trying for stats, right? Protect themselves for stats. Now, that he wasn't talking about the VFL players.
No, that's right. And it might have been you might have been talking about one in particular, and that might be the guy that came from Collingwood. Yeah.
Well, that was
I'm not sure. Yeah,
I thought the way he said that's an us versus them way of speaking.
And who knows what's going on through Jaden Stevens' head at the moment? If he can't get a game at the moment, probably be a bit disgruntled. I mean, there's obviously other. I mean, it's not talent wise. He's definitely in our best 22 as far as talent. But I mean, obviously there's something there. I've seen his attitude during games, and there's still maturity issues. And he's 23. He's not a kid anymore. He's played a lot of football, so he's got to be better than what he is. And I'm on board with Noble in dropping him a few weeks ago, because I thought his attitude in some of the areas where he was getting questioned by Luke McDonald for an effort and he just turned his back on him and things like that. It's very frustrating. So, I'll probably back Noble on that.
I agree with you on that. I've got no issue there with having discipline. The problem is that I'm more of the view that overall, I don't want to criticise any players until I have a full understanding of of why there's so many of them performing way below their best.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a bit strange, yeah. I suppose if we knew, it would be coaches, so maybe. Oh, but
that's a good point. It's a horrible job. It really
is. Yeah, it is. But it's a tough job.
At the end of the day, though, I will say, compared to most people, he's in a great position. If he loses his job as a coach, he'll be snapped up as a general manager of footy 2 seconds. He's lucky enough to have a son who's playing AFL footy, and he's watching his son. He's a gun, like one of the toughest players
I've seen.
And you'd be the proudest person going around as a father getting to watch him play footy every week. And he's 55, and he's probably, he's probably doing pretty well in life. So it's not a personal attack on him. I'm just not.
I'm
far from convinced that he's the right person to lead us forward as the coach of the footy club. And I'm not going to pretend any more than I think otherwise. I've ummed and ahed about it for ages, and now I really do want us to make a change, whether it's Simpson, whether it's Clarkson, whether it's Uze, or someone else. I want someone who's had a lot of experience at the coalface in the last 10 years. Not someone who's an overall manager of the club. I would rather he took over as CEO, to be honest.
Oh, well, you never know, I suppose. Look, they might ask him, in a few weeks' time. But, when the hard conversation comes, do you want to go to the back room? We'll keep you on. Maybe that might be an option. I'm not too sure. Or maybe the bridge is too far, gone or something like that. But who knows?
It'd be hard to stay there, I think. Look, I've been in senior roles in companies before. If things break down like that, you need to move away. I can't imagine him staying. But it's not his fault. A lot of what's going on at the moment is not his fault. I mean, it's a very, very difficult situation to take on.
100%.
But I just think it takes someone who understands, like 10 years out of footy coaching is a fucking long time.
Yeah.
Excuse my language.
Yeah, no,
in this current situation that we're in, it makes it so much more difficult. And now he's confused as well. It's like he's apologizing when he gets too aggressive. It's like the players, it's almost like they're already tired of his message. And it looked like that against the Gold Coast game. It's so hard to turn that around.
Yeah, yeah.
If you were a business director at a company or whatever else, and that was going on, you'd want to leave. You just want to go somewhere else and start again.
Yeah.
It's just, it's very difficult.
No, 100%. I mean, I'd like to talk about the game more, but you could pretty much replay what we talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's pretty much a capitulation to the same degree sort of thing. You look at the second and fourth quarters, the total inside 50s was something like 52 to 10 or something like that.
Yeah, horrendous. Yeah.
The second most inside 50s by a football team, 81 overall compared to us, our 36.
The tackles inside our forward 50.
Yeah, one tackle, yeah. It's
that's
pretty
as bad as it gets, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that just shows where we're at as a footy club. I want to talk to you about Kane Turner. There's obviously a lot of pushback, feedback about his performance on the weekend from the supporters, a lot of negative feedback. I mean, he's been changed in a number of different roles, halfback, tagging on ball against Lachie Neal. Yeah, lockdown defender, like I said. And he's gone back to the forward line as that crummy forward. I don't know if you call it that. His game on the weekend was probably one of the, you know, and I don't mean to. But it was probably one of the worst individual performances I've seen since probably Corey McKernan has, you know, zero possession game in the early 2000s. It was really poor. He had three touches, three turnovers, and 0% disposal efficiency. And he was on the ground for 85% of the time. I've never seen anything so poor in my life, to be honest with you. I mean, is he that bad now? I don't think he's ever been that sort of bad of a player, but is he that bad now? Or is it where the game's just gone past him? Or is it just,
he's not getting utilised? Look, Dino, who knows? I mean, for all we know, the guy's playing with a bloody crook leg
Cool.
I think you're right, as in terms of future premiership sides, and I know that's almost a laughable comment for most people right now, but if you were just looking at going, these guys are not going to play in the next flag or the next final, maybe the next winning team. You'd say Walker, Zeebel, Turner out now and replace them. But we've got no one. We've got so few players over 25 that it's very difficult. And to be fair, Walker's actually played well the last few weeks. But
yeah, he's got it.
But I'm desperately hoping during the off-season, I mean, I hope to God we're organised enough to be bringing in at least four or five 25-plus, 24 to 28, 29-year-old players into the club.
It's funny you say that because it was only a couple of years ago we pretty much got rid of them all. And now we sort of, even Brady Rawlings has said as much. We want to get at least three or four mature age rookies. Well, that's why we got the Callum Dawson.
I understand that. I think we've made some mistakes, definitely. We got rid of.
Yeah.
But also, a lot of them didn't fit the bill of what we needed. So,
yeah.
I'm not Mason Wood. I understand doing well at St Kilda, and I actually know his mother really well. So I'm pleased for him that he's doing well. But I would say, like, Durden, that was a mistake. You don't get rid of Magic Door and Durden when you've got no backup of key defensive players. That made no sense.
Yeah.
So he would, if anything, you would have kept him as a backup, like just to have some sort of, like, you've got to have someone playing the key defensive role in the fucking VFL side, don't you?
Marty Hall's doing that, but he didn't even nominate for the mid-season draft, which was a bit bizarre.
I'm hoping they've got a plan for him to take in the pre-season draft because he's got,
end of season,
let's hope so.
He's looked really good in the reserves. I'll give him that. So,
look, a lot of those guys they got rid of. I went through that list today to have a look to myself to go, just to remind myself, did we make some terrible mistakes? I honestly don't think we did. Reality is 12 months ago, we had an exciting list. We looked at like a really exciting club. Something has gone horribly wrong through the preseason. It went wrong in the Melbourne preseason game and it's just continued on the whole way through. None of us really understand what's going on. We're hearing stuff from the media. And the problem is, you get people like Caroline Wilson, who I just refuse to believe anything she says. So when she talks, I don't want to hear about it. But there's enough going on. You go, well, hold on. Maybe it's like there's so much smoke and the performances are so poor.
Yeah.
Something's gone wrong between last year and this year. You can't just keep ignoring going, there's nothing happening here, nothing to see here. It's just a rebuild. We'll be okay. You've got to look at it and go, well, I absolutely understand we've got a big gap of lack of players. And this, if you look, to be fair to people that made the point, and I agree with them, you look at the Hawthorn players over 26, they're very good and they're playing really good footy. And I totally understand that. Same with Collingwood and same with a few other players. But Adelaide don't really have many.
Yeah.
And they're competitive most weeks.
No, that's right.
And we are not competitive any weeks. So,
no.
Oh, sorry, that's not true. We were competitive against Sydney and Melbourne.
Melbourne, yeah, it's for about 2.5 quarters.
Yeah, that's right. So,
and then we fell away again. So
if you look at the Melbourne game, the Sydney game, you go, okay, well, if you're capable of doing that, then what is going on between the coaches and the players that that's not happening every week?
Yeah, no, that's right.
Because
yeah.
all of us, most supporters are realistic enough to go, look, if we'd won 2 games this year, but we were really busting our guts week in, week out, and we're just falling short. Like, we're 25 points, we're losing, we're falling away by the second half of the game, whatever. You just go, yeah, that's fair enough. It's a part of a rebuild. But if you the game's over at quarter time, 9 times out of 10, just, and then this week we go, great first quarter, we might be in it, and then just get absolutely slaughtered in the second quarter, just throw in the towel. It was almost like I was almost laughing at the second quarter. This is insane how bad this has got.
Yeah, I mean, it was, it was, considering that first quarter, it sort of did give us a bit of hope. And we hate being negative. I hate being negative.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's just.
Were you at the St Kilda game, Dino?
Yeah, I was there, yeah.
That was the only time in my lifetime, I know I've said this already, that I really felt just depressed about what was happening. And the ironic part is that the coach talks about energy.
Yeah.
We don't have any. We just literally don't have any. And that's the part that really upsets me. It's not. The mistakes, they go, oh, okay, look, that, you know, well, that's fine, but I accept all that. But it's when they break tackles easily and the players look disinterested and disheartened that I just go, well, something's terribly wrong here.
I remember that game at halftime. I sort of tweeted that it was a very uninspiring first half. It was just going through the motions a bit, that game. It was very flat. St Kilda were in second gear, just cruising. And that's what I'm finding with every team. They don't seem to be doing much, but they seem to be just in second gear throughout the whole course of the game and winning quite comfortably, which is probably more frustrating. But yeah, any positives for you out of the weekend? I mean, you talked about LDU. I think he's continued his good form. He's had a decent month.
Luke McDonald busts his guts every week.
Yeah, he always does. Yeah,
I feel sad for him at the moment. He looks sad, like Luke. He's like trying so hard.
Yeah.
I'm glad Cherry's signed up. I'm not thrilled with the fact he's getting a couple of possessions a week at the moment.
No, 4 touches again. So,
And I think Curtis is going to be a gun for us. I think he's been a great pickup. That's a great bit of great work by the recruiting guys.
Yeah.
Jason Horne Francis is a super talent. I'm weirded out with what's going on overall psychologically with him and the club and everything else. It's hard to understand, but I think Core's improved. I think he's starting to show that he could be, the reasons why we got him.
Yeah, I thought the defence held up pretty well considering he was 81 inside 50s.
That's right. I think the defence the last 3 or 4 weeks has been really good.
Yeah, I think they've held up more than
I'm more worried about. There's a lot of players like Taylor who got 50% of their total possessions for the game in the first quarter.
Then
you just don't see them again. And he's been played as a hard-running wingman when he was an X-factor forward.
Yeah, I think that's his best position too, as that half-forward flanker, to be honest with you.
Well,
I like him in that role, inside 50 rather than outside.
Yeah, that's right. He's got a big leap. And he's actually incredibly – I've seen him run up and down the wing against St Kilda. He's horrifically slow, sadly, for him.
He tries
his guts out, but he's slow. He's like super slow, but he's an X-factor player who's dangerous on the forward line. He's not supposed to be a hard-running midfielder. It's not his position.
There's
a few things that are happening are weird at the club at the moment. It's the strangest thing time that I've been involved. Well, I haven't been involved because I'm not involved. As a supporter, I mean, it's the strangest time I've seen, and I'm hating that I'm becoming indifferent to what happens.
Yeah.
And I don't want us to become I hate the way they're starting to call us irrelevant again. I hate that term, and I hate the word North and irrelevant. That's when I fire up against people when I become very defensive about our club. But I think this, the leadership at the club now have really got to, they can't hide anymore. They're going to have to come out in the next few weeks and sort this out.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I think we're probably lacking at the moment, just that on-field leadership a little bit. It's probably, you know, when the game's, you know, when the game was there in the second quarter, we just didn't have any leaders. It was just going back to the old of, you know, just getting the ball, or we'll just go long down the line.
I feel like Luke McDonald's on his own in that regard.
He's battling really hard.
I think Jack's body's just wrecked. I don't think it's anything to do with any. I've got no criticism of him as a person or as a player or as a leader at our club. I just think his body's absolutely smashed. It's very difficult to play the way he's played, and he's, you know, in his early 30s now. I mean, that's why the club didn't want to give him 2 years. They offered him one.
His role's, I thought he's quite good in the back line last year, and he's played, he only played the first three rounds in the back line. Not the rest of the year he's played as a forward. I thought they eventually would have put him back just to play that, because he can use the ball quite well. And he did do a lot of rebound 50s for us last year, gained a lot of meters as well, came third in the best and fairest. So, yeah, it's been a bit bizarre that they've sort of haven't gone back to it.
That's true as well. I mean, to be honest, culturally, we probably can't afford for him to leave anyway, because he's probably the only person holding things together.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying. He's very good to meet. He says the right things and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, no, he's trying to show leadership in that regard. But, it is tough on him.
What do you think happens, Dino, if we lose by 10 goals against GWS this week?
Pretty much what's been happening every other week. I mean, we've got the bye coming up, so I think they'll keep quiet. Like, they won't say much, and, you know, hopefully, you know, the storm will blow over. But,
I don't think it will blow. I think if the board doesn't act, I think the board will become under pressure themselves.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's probably a fair chance that we probably will get another touch up, to be honest with you.
Imagine if a Scanlon, who's a very influential supporter of the club, and I'm not speaking for him because I don't have any relationship with him at all. If someone like that said enough's enough, I'm not putting up with this. Either the board does something or I will.
Yeah,
the board would be under real pressure because he's made a massive difference to the club. Like, he's a significant reason why we've got no debt right now.
Yeah, 100%.
And I am hearing that there is outside people outside the board that are saying you either sort this out pretty quickly or we're going to have to get involved. So it's going to be an interesting period of the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think there was a report today that they were going to have an emergency board meeting, which was quashed pretty quickly. And we do have a board meeting on the 14th of June, which is nine days away. So
there's a big difference between a board meeting and the board meeting up.
Yeah.
So you can deny there's a board meeting, but you can say, well, the board's met up together, but that wasn't a board meeting. I mean, it's all semantics, really. But you can't have the weekend that just went and then not have people on the board wanting to discuss what's going on. Because they're thinking, if we don't change this, we won't be on the board.
that's always a possibility because, you know, you'd have to think there's going to be a review process. Right down to the weeds pretty much of everything, of how we do things from, you know, performance on the field to off the field as well. So, we'll see how we go. Before we finish, I'll talk to you. I don't know if you've seen much of the reserves game yesterday. I thought Lazaro played quite well. I mean, it was strange because the couple of games I've seen him play in the midfield, in the centre square, he's played quite well, but he hasn't played enough there.
I totally agree with that, 100%.
Yeah. And even Lee Adams sort of said, yeah, we wanted to play him there so he can get better his one-on-one work in the centre stoppage.
What annoyed me the most about those guys, he's got an enormous tank. Well, that's the one thing we lack with most of our players in the centre. So Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Play him in the midfield every week and then throw him in the seams and leave him there for 5 or 6 weeks. I mean,
we're not going to, it's not going to, I mean, at the end of the day, what are we going to do? I lose by $10.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I found that a bit bizarre. He hasn't been, even in the reserves, he hasn't been playing the midfield. He's been playing the wing, half forward, back.
He was recruited as a midfielder.
Yeah.
And they're admitting that he's got a huge tank and he's super quick. Like,
yeah.
They play him in the midfield. He has 26 possessions, about 18 of them contested straight up.
Yeah. In tough conditions as well.
Yeah.
Very windy and wet and so forth. I thought Stevenson played okay.
They're trying to make a point with him. Stevenson has to be part of our future.
He's
super talented. Like, I have no issue though with what they're doing with him, wanting him to do the right thing. I think that's fine. I think they've obviously done a bit of it with Powell, but they seem to have wrecked Powell's confidence while they've done it.
Yeah, I thought he was okay, Tom Powell, on the weekend. But
I love Tom Powell. I just think he's super talent. I'm upset with what anyone who's worked in any type of business knows that if you want the best out of your people, you want them to be confident. I just feel like our players just are so lacking in confidence. I don't know why it is. Something went wrong after the Melbourne game in the preseason. It never recovered. It's so weird. Even when they show signs for a short period of time, it's like the opposition puts pressure on us and the confidence just disintegrates almost instantly. It's amazing.
Yeah. We saw a lot of panic and the belief just goes right out of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we noticed it in the crowd, so... Yeah, like I sit there and think, oh, here we go again, like on the weekend. And I'm sure the players are thinking like that as well. You know, they're only human at the end of the day. And it's pretty much most of the time it's played above the shoulders in the game. So, you know, I mean, that's
100% right. And so eventually you just go, as a supporter, I just want to feel hope. And at the moment I've got no hope. So if they change something dramatically, and this is an admission that sometimes you just want an easy fix. So part of me just goes, just put Alistair Clarkson in and then I'll feel like I've got some hope.
Yeah, I mean, look, that would change a lot of things if you did get him. I'm not so sure what's going to happen with that if we do get him, or if he's actually genuinely interested or anything like that. There might be half interest there from what he says. But
I mean, I was being a bit facetious. But look, if you did get him and you're probably going to add 25% onto your membership. You're going to attract players to the club that suddenly want to play with Clark, and he's proven over and over again how well he does that. You're just going to have a buzz around the playing group and everyone else. Now, even if it was Simpson or anyone else, it probably doesn't matter. It's just that at the moment the message is struggling to get through from Noble. It's almost like we just need a circuit breaker. And but also, I must admit, it's lazy as a supporter. You go, look, sometimes I question myself and go, maybe he's doing everything right and the players believe in everything he's doing. It's just one of those things and it's all going to turn around and I shouldn't be so negative.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I'm looking for some hope, but it's getting harder and harder to stay with that line of thinking.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more. It's tough times. It's probably the last we can go at the moment as far as a club and as far as supporters. I don't think we can get much lower than this. So if you're supporting a club through these tough times, then you're doing pretty well. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's easy. Look, I mean, we have been critical. It's easy to be critical, but at the moment there's – when you're getting flogged every week, it's hard not to be critical. And it's good to get these therapy sessions going as well to talk about it. That's half the battle. Did you want to add anything else before I let you go?
I'd just say thank you for the therapy session. I definitely needed it.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about the game, but it was more a bit of what's going on with the club. And, I think a lot of people feel the same.
Dino, I think most of us are just at the moment just trying to work out where we're heading.
Yeah, and it's that's exactly right. So, do you expect, like, in saying all that, do you expect us? I'll just finish with this. Do you expect us to win another game this year? Because I can't do it.
Sorry, what was that, buddy?
I don't know what happened there in the background, but I was just sort of saying before we finish, do you expect us to win another game this year? Because I can't see it at the moment.
I think we'll win. I reckon if we make a change, we'll probably win two or three because it'll release the players.
Yeah.
I think if we don't make a change, yeah, I think it'll get worse, actually. Yeah, I don't think we'll win a game. I can't see it. If you're going to fall over the line against the Waffle side,
yeah,
and that to me that was actually our worst performance of the year.
But,
yeah, and that's the game we won. So I can't. If things don't change, I can't see us winning. But I think if they do, normally it releases players and they sort of feel a bit freer and they, you know, it makes things a bit easier. The pressure gets taken off, and we might win a couple of games, but. If things don't change, no, it's going to be very hard for us to win another game this year.
Yeah. Even with change, it might even be difficult. We might be that far gone mentally. So, who knows, some of the players might be that far gone mentally. So
I think I've never played at that elite level, so I don't understand the effect of how that works. Like,
yeah.
Because it is. It's a matter of degrees, obviously. But, yeah. Yeah, so who knows? But yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be tough unless something changes.
No, that's right. But anyways, Mark, I better let you go. It sounds like something's going on in the background at your place just then. So it sounds like a bit of chaos.
I've got a 7-week puppy chewing through half the house.
Oh, well, fair enough. You've probably got the North Melbourne replay going on in the background, so he probably can't struggle like the rest of us. Yeah. Well, anyways, Mark, thanks very much for coming on the show, and I'm sure I'll chat to you soon.
Good on you, buddy.
So thanks to Mark for coming on the show once again. Like I said, we did talk for close to an hour. There's a lot to discuss. We did go on a few rants as well. But at the end of the day, you know, what's happening on the field is, you know, it's really disappointing and disheartening for a lot of our supporters. We're all a bit, we're all frustrated, I guess. And, from where we were this time last year, where you could sort of see the improvements coming throughout the year, and then this year, it's just gone backwards in a hurry. And we're questioning where we're at as a football club. It's not a personal attack on David Noble as well, and we don't want to be, I hate being critical. I always try and look for the positives and, optimism as much as I can, but it's getting very hard at the moment. I remember in 1996, Fitzroy were a basket case. They had no players and they had a percentage of 47.7 and they won one game. We got a percentage of 52 or something like that, and we've won one game so far. And, things continue the way it keeps going. We'll probably only win one game for the year as well. And that's a real, real possibility at this stage because we haven't really looked like winning another game. Even when in the Melbourne game when we got to within a goal, you almost sense, how long till they click into gear and they kick away from us, which kind of happens. So, hopefully, in the coming weeks we can put in better performances. I want to see David Noble do well. Like, I don't want to see anyone lose their job or anything like that. And I don't want to put Sonia Hild or Ben Amafio down and tell him to get rid of the coach or anything like that. I really want David Noble to do well. I think he seems like a really good, genuine guy. And, I do feel sorry for him in that regard that it's just not working for him at the moment. And sometimes, it just doesn't work. And unfortunately, at the moment, it's not. I mean, there's still a little bit of hope that it might turn around. There's not. It's starting to go pretty fast at the moment. It's not far from being completely shut. But I'm still hoping that it can turn around. It's going to be very hard. But at the moment, It's just tough times for everyone, players, coaches, supporters. We've seen Paul Curtis, crying after the game on the weekend. So, the players do care. I mean, as much as some people, supporters will say that the players don't care and they don't seem to give a shit, they certainly do care after the game. You see the emotion come out, and you feel for players like Flynn Perez, who's I don't think he's played in a winning game. He's probably played, 12, 13, AFL games or maybe a bit less. I think he's probably played about, you know, 10, maybe 10 or 11. And I think he hasn't played in a win, and they've all been floggings, you know. So, yeah, we're certainly hoping it can turn around sooner rather than later. And we're certainly hoping we can put in a good performance against GWS. But I've said that before, and, you know, I've fallen on my sword, I ain't saying that. And we've usually come up pretty short, and had a big thumping or close to it. So yeah, it's probably more disappointing on the weekend. That's especially after that first quarter where the signs were promising, and then just to fall apart like that. Like I was talking to with Mark Hello an unbelievable turn of events, and probably the most that second quarter is probably the most disappointing quarter of the year, and that's saying something. We have played a lot of bad quarters. And yeah, don't forget you can also check out Ricky's latest article, Ricky Mangidis at theshinboner.com. He really sums it up well, the second quarter, where it went wrong. He talks about it really well. Even Troy Mike piece has done a thread. He's just done a thread tonight about the first quarter. Check that out, of the things we did really well. And the things we did really poor in the second quarter. So definitely check those two out at Mako Shark 35. Definitely comment on that. They're always happy to reply and so forth. So yeah, definitely look at that. That really sums it up really well. It probably says the video says more than my words will. So put it this way. So yeah, definitely check that out. But anyways, that's it for me. I'm pretty much done. I've ranted long enough. This has been a long podcast. It's gone for, how long has it gone for? It's gone for well over an hour. That's pretty much it. I should be back later in the week. I might have something else teed up in the next day or two. I'm not too sure. I'm trying to work on something. So, yeah, I'll see what happens. But at this stage, it might be there'll be another episode later in the week. I've tried to tee up Troy Makepeace again. So, yeah, he can talk about his thread and what he's talking about there on Thursdays. It's always a good chat with Troy. You guys, lovely listeners, love listening to him as well. And that's about it. That's all I have for you. So, anyways, yeah, I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. And I will leave a shout-out to Jacob Edwards. Bye for now.